I have yet to talk to a scientist or researcher who isn't certain that climate change is underway and that the human population is accelerating the process. However, there are naysayers. They speak loudly, and some carry a big financial stick. Good morning. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment. It's a regular Wednesday feature during Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest this morning is Dr. Michael Mann. You know, Dr. Mann is renowned for his work documenting temperature changes over the last millennium. Dr. Mann holds joint appointments at Penn State University's Department of Meteorology and Geosciences and the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute. He is the author of over 150 peer-reviewed publications and has published two books, Dire Predictions, Understanding Global Warming, and The Hockey Stick and the Climate Change Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines. That, in fact, is also the title of a free lecture he will give Friday on the University of Michigan campus. Dr. Mann, good morning, and thank you for joining us on WEMU.
Thanks. It's my pleasure.
How has our temperature changed over the past millennium? Let's start there.
Sure. Well, we know that the globe has warmed by about a degree Celsius. That's about a degree and a half Fahrenheit over the past century. But to go further back in time and place that warming in a long-term context to assess whether that is indeed unusual in a long-term context, we need to turn to other sources of information, what we call proxy data. These are things like tree rings and corals and ice cores that by their nature record something about the environment surrounding them. They tell us something about the climate. And so more than a decade ago, my co-authors and I used an array of these so-called proxy data from around the world to estimate how temperatures changed back in time. We were able to extend that estimate back 1,000 years. It's come to be known as the hockey stick.
That's kind of the shape it takes on the graph.
Exactly. There's a long-term decline from the relatively warm conditions 1,000 years ago into the depths of the Little Ice Age from the 17th through 19th centuries. You might think of that as a handle. And then, of course, there is the abrupt warming of the past century. Think of that as the blade. And what our estimate showed was that the recent warmth was indeed unprecedented as far back as we could go, more than 1,000 years.
And yet you've also pointed out we did have at one time warmer temperatures and then dipped into an ice age. So isn't some of this naturally cyclical?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, many of my colleagues and I have published work trying to understand both the natural factors that govern climate variability and the influence of humans over the past 2 centuries. And what we found, in fact, in other follow-up studies was that we could explain the long-term pre-industrial trends from a combination of changes in volcanic activity, changes in solar output. But the recent warming, the warming of the past century, takes us outside of the range of that natural variability, even as far back as 1,000 years, and can only be explained by the human contribution, increasing greenhouse gas concentrations from fossil fuel burning and other human activities.
And without dramatic behavioral changes, one might assume with the population explosion around the globe that we might be in for even worse.
Now, if we continue to follow historical trends with fossil fuel burning, if we follow business as usual, by the end of the century, we will have warmed the planet somewhere between 4 and 5 degrees Celsius relative to pre-industrial times. So that's in like 8 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit. In that scenario, we will be leaving our children and grandchildren a fundamentally different planet.
This is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. I'm David Fair, and our guest this morning is Dr. Michael Mann. Dr. Mann is renowned for his work documenting temperature changes over the last millennium. He holds joint appointments at Penn State University's Department of Meteorology and Geosciences and the Earth and Environmental Systems Institute. Dr. Mann will be giving a free lecture on the U of M campus this Friday called The Hockey Stick and the Climate Change Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines. Dr. Mann, I had mentioned earlier that I'd not personally had a conversation with a scientist or researcher that refuted the human impact on climate change, but there are certainly those who aren't buying in, and some of these folks actually attack your work and attack you personally. If you believe science to be truth and believe your findings to be scientific truth, how do you react when the findings are called into question and then you are attacked personally?
Well, you know, that's part of why I wrote this book, because I wanted to use my story as a reluctant and accidental public figure in the debate over climate change. as a vehicle for exploring some of these larger questions. You know, the nature of our scientific understanding, the source, the origin of these attacks against the science of climate change, and then in the end, a look forward. And I provide an optimistic view of how I think we will get beyond this current impasse that we find ourselves in, where even though the world scientists have spoken very clearly on the reality of this problem, the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, founded by Abraham Lincoln in the 19th century to advise the U.S. government on matters of science that are relevant to policy, they have spoken quite clearly on this issue. Climate change is real, and it represents a threat if we continue on the course that we're on. The academies, all of the national academies of all of the major industrial nations have signed on to the same conclusion. So the world scientists have reached a consensus that we are warming the planet, we are changing the climate, and it represents a threat if we continue on this course. Unfortunately, there is a fairly small number of naysayers who attempt to discredit the world scientific the scientific community's findings,
and they tend to be stakeholders in maintaining the status quo.
Well, absolutely. In many cases, they are working. You know, they're not really playing the role of a scientist. They're not putting forth good faith, scientific criticism, which is welcome in science. You know, scientists should be skeptics, and we should also always welcome scrutiny of our conclusions. But what many of these contrarians are doing is not good faith scientific challenge. It's using rhetorical sort of tools to undermine the public's confidence in science, trying to pick disingenuous holes here and there in the science without offering a credible alternative hypothesis to the observations.
Hasn't, in some respects, science become commerce, and sponsored research can and often does have an agenda? So how do we, as a consumer of this research, determine what is truth and what is subsidized opinion?
Well, you know, science, you know, the hallmark of science, as I said, is that good faith criticism is always welcome. Unfortunately, what we have today are certain vested interests essentially trying to tamper with that process, trying to discredit that process. And as you alluded to before, in many cases, they're not acting as scientists, even if some of them are scientists. They're generally working as advocates for vested interests, front groups representing the fossil fuel industry, and in some cases, fossil fuel industry groups themselves. And in my book, I sort of outline the attacks that I've been subjected to and how many of them have actually been coming from organizations and front groups that are advocating for the fossil fuel industry and aren't really interested in scientific truth like the rest of us are. They're simply looking to discredit the science because they see it as a challenge to our current reliance on fossil fuels. They don't want to see us change.
Well, our time together is winding down, but I do want to close with this following question, and that is, you had said you are optimistic for the future because we are gaining a better understanding. What about today's political climate, our polarized system of gridlock, makes you optimistic?
It's clearly a problem. There's this poisonous atmosphere in our public discourse today, and the fact that we can't have a good faith discussion about climate change and what to do about it is really a symptom of this larger problem, this polarization, this bad faith public dialogue that we've entered into, and we need obviously to move past that. We can have a healthy debate about what to do about the problem of human-caused climate change. But we can no longer have a good faith debate about the reality of the problem. We can't stick our head in the sands. We have to recognize that whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat, you know, we all care about our children and grandchildren, and we want to make sure that we preserve the earth for them.
Dr. Mann, I thank you so much for your time, and we'll look forward to your visit to Ann Arbor on Friday for your lecture.
Thank you very much.
That is Dr. Michael Mann, renowned for his work documenting temperature changes over the last millennium. Dr. Mann is a professor at Penn State University. He will be appearing in room 340 of West Hall on the University of Michigan campus this Friday for a lecture entitled "The Hockey Stick and the Climate Change Wars, Dispatches from the Front Lines." I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to another installment of Issues of the Environment, a cooperative effort of the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division and the News Department at 89.1 WEMU.